There was a family who lived in New York City. And they were the Thomases, father, mother, and their kids. The mother, Mrs. Thomas, stayed home, taking care of the kids. The father, Mr. Thomas, was the only bread earner in the family. In fact, he was a pastor who ministered to the poorest of all in the city. As you can see, the income he brought home was far from enough to feed the entire family. Although the two oldest kids joined and they worked part-time, it didn't help the situation much. Moreover, and no one outside the family would support them on a regular basis. Although the family was poor, they were never down. One thing they always kept in their hearts was God's promises in the Bible, especially Matthew 6:33, which says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The family believed deep in their hearts that as long as their father served God in faith, and as long as they sought God's kingdom first, their needs would be met according to God's riches. Indeed, most of the time their needs were met timely, but sometimes their faith was tested. One afternoon, as usual, the father was out, busy working for the poor. The mother found out that she had no bread for supper, not even for one person. No money to buy bread either. So she immediately went to the Lord in prayer, pouring her heart out to God, saying, "Lord, what shall I do? The kids are hungry and we have no bread, let alone money to buy it." While she was waiting on the Lord in silence, she heard God speaking softly in her heart, saying, "Arise, go to the kitchen and start cooking right now. Fill the pot with water and put it on the stove, and call out the children to the table." Wow, when I first heard that, that's a little interesting. Even though she could not understand a bit why the Lord commanded her to do so, she simply obeyed the voice of the Lord. And she, you know, called the children around to the table, and kids say, "Mom, dinner's ready? Where's food?" And the water was boiling, and she didn't know what to say. So she invited the kids, "Hey kids, let's say the grace." Everybody bowed their heads, and she offered her words of grace, saying, "Oh Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us our daily bread." Before she finished her grace, there was a knock at the door. One of the boys ran toward the door to answer, and as soon as he opened the door, the family saw three gentlemen standing on the porch with grocery bags in their hands, six bags in total. One of the strangers asked, "Is this Mr. Thomas's residence?" "Yes," answered Mrs. Thomas in curiosity. "Ma'am, this afternoon we were gathered together in my house for prayer," said one of the men. "While we were deep in prayers, all three of us heard God speaking to us urgently, 'Hurry up, go to the supermarket, get some groceries, and go to Mrs. Thomas's residence, 123 Apple Street, apartment 1B. We don't fully understand what this is all about," he continued, "but we brought some groceries to your family and hope you can use them." And that night, the family had a feast with a grateful heart. True story, after all. The story shows us one thing that the family and the three gentlemen shared in common. They both were sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. When they heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, they both obeyed and experienced God's miracles in their lives. God worked with them because their hearts were open and they were trained to discern God's voice and their minds were trained to obey God's will. Imagine this. If the mother heard and said, God, you know, I have nothing to cook for, so don't ask me to start the fire. And it would not have happened if she said so. If the gentleman said, God, you know, what is this? Are we hearing something here? And if they did not obey, then this miracle would not have happened either. So this morning, I'm going to talk about how do we stay sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit so that we may work with God and experience God's miracles. You see, sometimes we run into the Christians who claim that they indeed have heard the voice, the Lord speaking to them in such and such a manner. Or some would say, the Holy Spirit spoke to me such and such. Now, we should be very careful before we believe every single story or every detail of what they claim. But one thing is certain, and only those who are sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit or trained to discern it can receive the clear directions from the Holy Spirit and therefore have the privilege to work with God. In today's passage, we see such a man who was well trained in discerning the voice of the Holy Spirit and ended up working for the Lord. His name was Philip. And every time the Spirit of God spoke to him, he knew right away that it was from God, and he did not have to spend the next 7 days to figure out whether it was from God or not, because he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Who was Philip after all? Philip was one of the deacons in Jerusalem church 2,000 years ago. He was well known among the believers, and he served as one of the dynamic witnesses for Christ. He worked with God because he was sensitive to the Spirit of God. Now, I invite you to open the bulletin and look at some verses I'm going to point out. If you look at verse 26, it has no numbers in it here. It doesn't help much. Now, if you look at, where is that? There are no numbers here. Okay, the wilderness, and he got up. Okay, let me just go on. Now the angel of the Lord said to the Philip, this very first one, isn't it? Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And if you look at verse 29, it also says, the Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Now, what I see in today's passage is this. Both times, Philip was able to clearly hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and obeyed. What's the result? The result is that Ethiopian eunuch and his household, and later the entire kingdom of Ethiopia, came to know the Lord Jesus through the gospel. Scholars believe that eunuch actually went home and became an evangelist. You see, one believer, Philip, who was sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, made a huge difference in the lives of many people, and they were all saved because one person's sensitivity and his obedience. The question arises in my heart, though. Does everyone who believes in Jesus have such a keen sensitivity like Philip's to the voice of the Holy Spirit? I wish I could say, yes, everyone indeed is sensitive, but the answer is unfortunately not. Why? Here's why. Because after we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and after we were born again, and many of us still remain spiritual babies, the babies who do not grow spiritually. And many of us are not growing in the knowledge of the Lord. Neither are we trained in discerning the voice of the Holy Spirit. And consequently, God cannot use us or work with us even though he wants to. Imagine a chef. Let's say you're cooking something and you cannot use a dull knife for cutting vegetables. You don't want to. The same thing. When we are dull spiritually, God simply can't work with us. So what keeps us from growing spiritually? My next question. What keeps us from being sensitive to the voice of God? In my humble opinion, the single most important reason for our inability to discern God's voice is unwillingness to obey the Lord for whatever reasons, for the, you know, the fear we have. So we just still say no. Many of us still live a life where we are in charge, not God. We are the king and the queen, not God in our lives. Our will rules, not God's. And that's why we don't hear God's voice, even though God still reveals himself through many different ways, audibly, visibly, and through our dreams and visions, and through our daily devotions. See, the problem is that when we don't hear God's voice, then we miss the opportunity to participate in God's mighty works. Let me give you an example. Some years ago, I was teaching the adult Sunday school, which had about 12 students at the time. One day I said to the class, suppose God appears to you tonight in your dream and asks you to go to an inner city and minister to one of the lonely, dying AIDS patients. My question for you, how many of you are willing to go and minister to the patient? To my great surprise, only two of them raised their hands. The rest of them were not sure. What surprised me more was a man's response. He said, I would make sure if the dream is actually from God or not. I'm very logical thinking. Although I made it very clear, yes, it is from God. What did you do? And the man still would not go. I think it's a good example of unwillingness to do God's will, even though you know what that's what it is. This is what Jesus says in John 7:17. He says, if anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Do you want to know the truth and the true God's will for you? Then you need to be willing to do what God wants you to do. Do you want to know God's will clearly for you? Then get your heart ready with absolute obedience to God, saying, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I am ready. When your heart is ready to do God's will, God will make known his will very clearly to you. His clear guidance is revealed only to those who are ready to do God's will. And once God makes his will known to us, then all that is left for us is to obey and do it. And once again, I'm taking you back to the Philip story. Philip was one of them. He was a man of obedience. Whatever the Lord commanded him to do, he was ready to do it and did it immediately. Let me take you back to the first verse, 26. It says, go toward south. But if you look at the Greek, the two words here, toward south, kata membrion, also could be translated as at noon. So you could translate it either as go toward south or go at noon. If that's the case, God asked Philip to travel at noon. Now, if I were Philip, I would negotiate with God for another time. This is very hot out there, Lord. Or gently protest, why should I go out into the desert in the middle of the day when the sun is extremely hot right above my head? There is expression in the Bible, the scorching sun. So that I would do it, but Philip never raised such questions, but simply went out as he was told. Now, another quick point I see in today's passage is that Philip trusted in the Lord even though he didn't know what was ahead of him. Consider the passage one more time. When the Lord spoke to Philip, he did not tell him everything ahead of the time. He didn't say to Philip, hey, Philip, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you today, okay? Go south and you will meet an Ethiopian eunuch. And you will find him reading the prophet Isaiah. He will invite you onto his chariot and you will explain to him the book of Isaiah. After that, you will baptize him in the water and I'll take you back to Azotus. No, the Lord didn't tell him at all. He simply revealed his plan one thing at a time. At first he said to Philip, go to the desert road. When Philip arrived there, God spoke to him second time to run to the chariot and stay by it. When he got there, the Lord gave him another direction. You see, this is the way the Lord leads us, one thing at a time. He leads us one step at a time, not showing the entire picture. And this is where our trust in the Lord comes in. A lot of us have trouble with it. Lord, I want to see everything before I commit myself. And many of us take that approach. But God says, can you trust in me? The Holy Spirit works with only those who put their trust in Him and obey one day at a time and one step at a time. As for closing, today the Lord anxiously waits to work with His children. That means you and me. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit as He did to Philip and as He did to the three gentlemen and as He did to the Thomases. He is ready. Are you ready? If you ask me, how do I get myself ready? By cultivating your sensitivity to the voice of the Holy Spirit, by training your senses to discern of God's voice through the Holy Spirit, by getting your hearts ready to do God's will. Cultivating sensitivity to the Holy Spirit is a process. That means that it takes time and practice. So we can start it today, and as time goes by, you and I will get better each day. The more we practice it, the more sensitive we become to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and of course, vice versa. So may the Lord fill our church with such spiritually sensitive believers. That's my prayer. And I'm going to just invite you to stand up if you'd like to join me in the prayer. I'm inviting anyone who'd like to follow the Spirit of the Lord, listening to the voice and obey what God wants you to do. And if you'd like to join me in the prayer, in this prayer, would you stand on your feet wherever you are? Thank you. And I invite you to close your eyes and say the prayer that I'm about to say. Say after me the following prayer. Lord, help me train my heart and mind to listen to your voice. I'm ready to do your will. I put my trust in you. I know you will guide me into the right path. Use me for your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.